portion of scripture which we want to turn our attention to, you'll find in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24. And we'll begin reading at verse 36 and we'll read to the end of the chapter. So Luke 24, beginning at verse 36. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. And he said to them, "These are my words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, that Christ should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending you the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Before we look a little closer into God's word, let's pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and now as we have read your word, and we have read of the great and amazing things that you have done for your people, how Christ suffered and died, forgave their sins, and was parted from them for a time. Now, O Lord, as we meditate on this portion of your word, we pray that you would bless us by that word. For, O Lord, your word is powerful and able to do all things. We pray a blessing of comfort, a blessing of peace, and a blessing of joy. And we pray that you continue to be with us through this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A famous artist, well, I should mention, the portion of the God's Word that we're going to focus on this morning is verse 50, the second half. "And lifting up his hands, he blessed them." A famous medieval artist once painted the scene that we have described for us here in our text. And having seen this piece of art, or a replica of it, I may say that it has left an indelible impression on me, because it was indeed a gripping scene that this artist portrayed. On a hillside near Jerusalem, with Jerusalem in the background, there's a gathering of believers of various ages. Obviously, the disciples and some of the believing women. And they were all gazing intently upwards. Some in a kneeling position. Some with hands folded in worship. Others standing, hands clasped in amazement. But all of them, heads and eyes turned upwards at the incredible sight above them. And indeed, high above them in the sky, a cloud is to be seen. But penetrating through the cloud, two hands, shining brightly as the sun, hands spread out over this small group of people down below. Significant about these hands is not only that they shine brightly, but also upon careful observation, you will detect wounds in each of these two hands. Those shining, marked up hands represent the last of what can be seen of the departing Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the artist has made it most evident that the hands of the Savior are in the process of laying a blessing on this small group down below. The artist was able to capture on canvas and put into perspective what our text words speak of, and what I, with the assistance of the Holy Spirit, must try to put into perspective for you. The painting that I have just talked about shows us Jesus, the Savior, as he departed for heaven. It shows us a Savior in a pose that would be memorable for those who love him, in the pose of blessing his people. This is how Jesus wanted to be remembered by his people, the final pose of blessing his people. As he departed from them and ascended towards heaven, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now, the Bible describes some significant poses of the Savior of his time on earth. For instance, he could be seen in the Garden of Gethsemane, crawling in the dust like a worm. The dirt of the earth clinging to his blood like sweat. It was a pose of prayer and of sheer agony in the anticipation of the cross. Another time we are given to see the Savior standing on the right hand of God in the open heaven. His faithful martyr, Stephen, is about to be stoned to death by his enemies. Then the Savior stood in the pose of readiness to take up his beloved servant and was poised to receive him with open arms unto himself. Still another time we are given to see the Savior walking among the seven golden candlesticks, which signify the seven churches of Asia Minor. You can read of this in the book of Revelation. At that time, the Savior stood in the pose of walking inspectingly and protectingly among those of his church. But here, at his ascension, the Savior is not seen in the pose of praying, or in the pose of receiving, or in the pose of inspecting, or in the pose of protecting, but rather in the pose of blessing. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. This is how the Savior left the earth and departed for heaven, with hands spread out in blessing. It was a memorable departure. You know, perhaps from your own experience of a departed loved one, that the last words spoken or the last thing that they did usually remains most firmly imprinted upon your memory. Well, so those who love their Savior, the last thing that he did as he physically departed from them was meant to leave a lasting impression upon them and make it a memorable departure for them. He did not depart from them as God once departed from Adam and Eve, leaving a curse behind him. But he departed from them, leaving a blessing behind him. Dear people, this is also what should stand out for us about Jesus Christ. If you know him as your Savior, his departure is most memorable because it was the pose of blessing his people. He departed for heaven, leaving blessings behind. Remember, dear people, that Christ did not leave this earth with a clenched fist or a raised hand or with fire in his eyes. He did not leave earth with a curse on his lips and a threat of revenge. He did not even leave this earth with his fingers raised in victory, although he could have. But he left with his hands lifted and in the pose of blessing his people. Let's keep this in mind. Let us keep this in mind foremost if you know him as your Savior. Our Lord is known and wants to be known, and wants to be remembered as one eager to bless. And what does this willingness to bless really imply here in our text passage? Well, the meaning of the word to bless here means to be of goodwill towards others, to be well disposed towards others, to be favorably inclined towards others. By the way, dear people, if you profess to be a Christian and a follower of Christ, do you also leave that sort of lasting impression with others? Are you a person of goodwill to them and well disposed to them and favorably inclined to them? What is it that fellow Christians may expect from you in your attitude towards them? May they expect blessings and goodwill from you? This is the sort of attitude we may expect of you as a Christian. But come to think of it, what will be memorable about you when it is your time to depart from us? Will the picture be etched upon our memory of you being Christ-like, well-disposed, and favorably inclined toward us? Or will you depart with another sort of attitude etched upon our memory? Remember, if that little group of believing people on Ascension Day saw as a lasting reminder of their Savior that He was favorably disposed toward them, should not His followers also leave the same sort of lasting reminder? Can you, as a believer, leave a blessing behind wherever you go? This is at least part of what it means to be Christ-like. He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. It was a memorable departure. But not only was it a memorable departure, it was in the second place also a comforting departure. The sight of the blessing hands of the departing Savior must have been comforting for that group down below. The Lord and Master, not leaving them in a fit of anger for their previous acts of unfaithfulness, neither did He leave them in a fit of frustration for their slowness of believing and their sluggishness of understanding all that He said to them. Rather, He left them in a wonderful display of love and kindness toward them. He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. It would have been the same if He had embraced them, only it was better. Because by lifting up His hands and blessing them, He implied a never-ending embrace, a comforting, a loving embrace, an embrace that would last into all eternity. As those hands were over them, they knew, and perhaps they could see it too, that those hands had marks embedded into them of a loving sacrifice. Those hands were, after all, nail-pierced hands. And those nail-pierced hands told them all that they needed to know of their Savior. It cost the Savior His blood and His life to be able to bless them as He did. Those lifted hands of the Savior told them of the cross and of pain and of humiliation and of shame and that which He endured, not for any of His own mistakes, but for their guilt and sin. Those lifted hands of the Savior told them that their sin was forgiven and that their guilt was removed. Those lifted hands of the Savior told them that they were in good standing with God and in good standing with God's kingdom once again. And surely, dear people, this must have been most comforting to this small but devoted group of believers in the Savior as He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. You know that ministers of the gospel have the privilege to do something similar to what the Savior did on that Ascension Day. With each official church service, at the very beginning and at the very end, they too, in a similar fashion to Christ, raise their hands over you and bless you. Have you ever thought about the significance of that ceremony? It should mean something to every believer, because by such a ceremony, they declare on behalf of Jesus Christ the Savior that He is well-disposed and well-favored toward them, and that by faith in Him, their sins are forgiven and their guilt is covered. Believer, you may draw comfort from this. The lifted hands of your pastor, while functioning in the official role of a preacher of the gospel, is blessing you and tells you that your sins are forgiven and that your guilt is removed. That is why the Apostle Paul could say in Romans 15, verse 29, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. John Calvin, to make sure that his people understood the fullness of this blessing, would regularly declare it to them from the pulpit, along with raising his hands, that their sins were forgiven and that their guilt was removed. And so, you see, something of what happened on Ascension Day is repeated at each official church service as a symbolic reminder of our Savior as He lifted up His hands and blessed them. Do you know the comfort of having your sins forgiven and guilt cleared? Do you know the blessings of the Savior? These are blessings symbolized by His lifted up hands. That is why David could sing in Psalm 32, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Do you have the comfort of these blessings? If you must admit at this time that you cannot say this yet, let me urge you to look in faith to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and pay particular attention to His hands. The artist captured it so well in the painting that I described to you. Those hands of the Savior's have wounds in them. They are nail-pierced hands. They are sacrificed-embedded hands. Jesus Christ sacrificed Himself precisely so that a sinner's sin could be forgiven and his guilt cleared. And if you are unsure if He has done so for you, and you do not yet have the comfort of His blessing, you have a most serious responsibility to carry out. You must go and confess your sin to Him, place your trust in Him, and ask God to forgive you and to clear you for Jesus Christ, the Savior's sake. He lifted up His hands and blessed them. It was a comforting departure for all those who saw Him go. But now in the third place, the departure of the blessing Savior was also a hopeful departure for those who saw Him go. The small group of believers had to bid a fond farewell to their Lord and Master. He blessed them as He departed from them, and it became a memorable departure for them. His hands were lifted up above them, over them, as He departed from them, and it became a comforting departure for them. But in those hands of the Savior, lifted up in blessing, there was also hope for them, and His blessing meant goodwill to them and gracious favor. And that this small group of believers had hope for the future. The Savior would not forget them. He would make sure that they would always be sensible of His abiding presence and of His comforting presence. True, the Savior had physically departed from them, but spiritually He stayed. Dear people, the Savior may have departed physically, but this does not mean he is gone. Perhaps it has crossed your mind at one time or another, I wish that Jesus was still around physically. Then it would be better. I could go to him. I could tell him my problems and my difficulties, and I'm sure that he would help me. Perhaps he would put his hand on me and bless me. But, my friends, there is nothing to stop you from going to him. Though you cannot see him physically or touch him with your hands, this does not mean that he's not there. All you need to do is find a quiet place and perhaps close your eyes to shut out the rest of the world from your sight. And you can talk with Jesus and tell him everything that's on your mind. And he will hear you as if he was right there beside you. Just remember those blessing hands of his, and you may be assured that he is still around. His blessing hands implies that he is favorably inclined to hear and answer you. That is good to know, isn't it? This should give all of us hope and encouragement to call on Jesus as Savior. There is another thing that should give us hope and courage. The Savior departed with his hands spread out in blessing for the whole church. As he departed, so will also he return again someday. As he departed, leaving blessings for his church, so will he return again someday with blessings for his church. To make sure that that was not forgotten, the Savior dispatched two angels to the earth. Even as this small group of believers was still at the place that the Savior had departed from, each one of them was still looking up. And then we read in Acts 10, verse 11, "And while they were gazing up into heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come again in the same way as you saw him go up into heaven.'" Now, this is a hopeful thing to look forward to, is it not? For you believers, at any rate, the Savior who departed while blessing his church will return once again to bless his church. Those same hands of the Savior will be seen again by all who love him and have believed on him, and those same hands of the Savior will beckon toward them with a grand gesture of welcome, and they will hear it from the lips of their Savior: "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Then shall all the believers receive the full amount of blessings that the Savior has sacrificed himself for and has stored up for them. Then shall their blessings be perfect and eternal and complete. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. My fellow believers, let those blessing hands of our Savior be etched upon your memory. May they be a comfort for us too, and be a hope to us. Those hands that bless us are the hands that rule the church and are the hands that keep us safe and secure. They are the hands that are presently busy preparing a place for us so that we may come to live with him eternally. One day, those hands will usher you into a life of, usher you from life in this broken world into a life where nothing is broken and where everything is perfect and beautiful. In a word, everything will be blessed. In the meantime, may the scene of our text, which the heavenly artist portrayed for us, remain etched on our hearts and lives. He lifted up his hands And he blessed them. May this Savior be known by all of you. You will be safe and blessed beyond all expectation. Let's pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the mercy and the love that's shown in that word, that we may know that the sins of all your people are forgiven, that as we, O Lord, look to you for our joy and our comfort, you have given to us a message of joy and comfort, that our Savior blesses us and will continue to bless us and will return blessing us. And we pray, O Lord, that through that we may find comfort and hope, that we may live in expectancy of his return, desiring to see those hands come once again to bless his people and his church. Be with us now, O Lord, we pray, as we think on these things, that we may continue to think on them and that they may continue to be a blessing to us. Remember us for good, we ask in Jesus' name, for his sake alone. Amen.